Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 33 and verses 44 through 52. Listen now for God's word to you. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, good folk of 2CC. I bring you greetings and peace from the good folk across the river at First Church. I'm grateful to them and to our senior pastor, Patrick Collins, for sparing me this morning so that I can be here with all of you. It is good to see you again, to be with you again. Thank you for having me here today. I invite you to please join your heart with mine in an attitude of prayer. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, be our vision this day and in this moment. We pray that we would have ears to hear, hearts that are open to understand, that we would find you in the midst of that which is confusing, that which is surprising, that which might feel downright absurd. And we pray, God, that the words of my mouth now and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer, so that we can carry your message into the world with all who need your love and your care. Amen. So a little fun fact about me. I am a sucker for anything that unites people together. The Olympics, the World Cup, Sports in general, I'm going to watch it all. I'm going to want to go to the games. Everyone, by and large, agreeing to participate in the same kinds of activities on a holiday sometimes gets me weepy. Whether it's fireworks and cookouts for the 4th of July, a shared meal and gratitude at Thanksgiving, or my personal favorite, dressing up for Halloween. Have you ever thought about that? That everyone across the country on the same day is choosing to do the same kinds of things all together? Or what about the collective effervescence that gets shared at concert experiences? And for better or for worse, I love how the latest internet trends keep us all entertained and engaged in the same thing. So naturally, like the trend follower that I am, last week Scott and I did Barbenheimer. For those who might not be into what everyone else on the internet thinks is cool, and that's okay, no judgment from me, Barbenheimer is a double feature film event of both the Barbie movie and the biopic of Robert J. Oppenheimer, nicknamed the father of the atomic bomb, directed by Greta Gerwig and Christopher Nolan, respectively. Two very different directors. And at first, Barbenheimer was just a funny name, given for the coincidence that these two very different movies in topic, tone, and color scheme were coming out on the same day. But then the internet turned it into a can't-miss event. Something that is bringing people together to enjoy the same thing at the same time? Sign me up. And yes, I wore a lot of pink to the movie theater. But just like with sports and how to commemorate certain holidays and the internet, movies are not always a source of unity. Kinda like Jesus. All of chapter 13 in Matthew's gospel is aimed at trying to understand why some folks have caught on to Jesus and his transformational word and ways, and some have not. AKA, why is not everybody in unity about this guy? If you've been following the Revised Common Lectionary readings like we have at First Church, then you might notice that we've been in chapter 13 of Matthew for 3 weeks in a row now. So quick review. Stick with me here, okay? Chapter 13 is divided into three sections. The first, which goes up to verse 23, offers an understanding of this mixed response to Jesus' ministry so far. Remember, this is chapter 13. 12 chapters have already come before this. Jesus has been doing a lot of preaching and teaching and healing. The Sermon on the Mount has happened. Folks have had a good snippet, an understanding of who this guy is. And even though Jesus' message and actions have always consistently pointed towards God and God's liberating power for all, not all seem to have ears to hear it. Thus, the mixed response. The parable of the sower, or sometimes called the parable of the soil, it comes in this first section of Matthew 13. I preached on this 2 weeks ago at First Church about how an invitation might be for the listener to cultivate their own soil. That is, hearts, minds, attitudes, actions, in order to let the abundant word of God, the seeds in the parable, to take deep root in ourselves. It's about inward reflection. What is our response to Jesus' word and not judging the soil of others? The middle section in this chapter describes the malicious forces working against God as a second reason for the mixed response. This section includes the parable of the wheat and the tares, which was last week's passage. And it's often interpreted to mean that it is not our role as humans to judge one another into good wheat and bad weeds. For wheat and weed are indistinguishable until they reach the harvest time, a symbol in this case for dying. At which point God is the only one who can determine who actually had hearts that truly understood, that were open to God's word and how to respond. Ours is not to judge, this parable might be boiled down into. And finally, the last section of this chapter discusses the appropriate response to the discovery of the kingdom of God in our lives. If the first two sections are about the mixed response, even though Jesus is not mixed, is always steadfast, this section is about what our response to God's word in the world and in our lives ought to be. Today's parables are from both the middle section and that final section. And did you notice that each section I mentioned was about a parable? All of chapter 13, dealing with this super interesting and still exceptionally relevant question about why some people open themselves up to God in their lives and why others don't, is parables. Yay! Said no one ever. Parables are short stories, or like today's readings, pithy little word images that compare one thing to another. Yet their meaning and interpretation is almost never straightforward, because this ancient form of teaching uses the absurd to make a point. So with parables, we must always ask ourselves, what in this is unusual? What is surprising? What is curious? What is ridiculous? What is downright absurd? Lest we be like the disciples and lie when asked if we get it. Yeah, Jesus, we totally understand everything you just said. Yep. And what is more absurd than a movie about a plastic doll living in a perfect matriarchal world, having an existential crisis and departing Barbie land for the real world, only to discover that Barbies did not, in fact, quote, fix everything in the real world so that women possessed every single job like they do in Barbie land? Well, maybe combining that movie with a movie on World War II. Yes, I brought it back to Barbenheimer. And don't worry, all of that is in the trailer for Barbie, so no spoilies here. And like parables, I found the Barbie movie to have rich, complex meaning, taking a story about something we all know, Barbie, and turning it on its head in order to make us think about what the world is really like and what it ought to be really like. Without saying too much, I found it thought-provoking, revealing, and a narrative on equality far more than I expected it to be. I think it's actually much like the parables in today's scripture. And today's scripture has not only one parable, but six. Now, if you just found yourself wanting to glance at your watch, don't worry. I'm not going to go point by point on each of the parables. You may have heard that the first and middle section of the parables can be understood to be about not judging others. And we have that again here too, with the section of the fish into good and bad as well. And once again, like the previous parables in this chapter on not judging, it is not our job to do the separating of what is considered a good fish or a bad fish. It is our job only to respond to the word of God appropriately. So what does that mean? What does that actually look like? In their roundabout and absurd way, I think the parables today invite us to consider some possibilities on that front. Once we have truly known God's word, when we have experienced true mercy and forgiveness, when we have tasted the healing liberation that comes from knowing we are unconditionally loved for exactly who we are, when we have experienced the good news that nothing can separate us from that love of God, not even death, then we are truly changed. We cannot be the same as we were before those moments. It's like we found the best treasure ever. And all of the ways that we relied on before that discovery are null and void. They don't matter anymore. They no longer work for us. Everything that we have automatically goes towards God. Our thoughts, our behaviors, our actions, our resources. It's all for God because we've discovered just how good God is. But what could bring about that kind of a discovery? Well, again, Jesus has been showing us all along. It's everything that he's done up until this point in the scriptures, sharing the word of God's love with others, healing that which is broken in our world, standing on the side of those who are on the margins of society and our communities. It sounds simple, but oh, can it be surprising, like the parables, like a mustard seed. Why would something that was considered a weed, unwanted, undesirable, an invasive species at that, be a symbol that Jesus uses as the kingdom of God? And in the parable, it is intentionally planted. You don't want a tree in the middle of a farm crop. Do you drive down the highway and on a farm just see one random tree in the middle of the field? No, that's bad farming. That is absurd. It would be an unwanted and unwelcome circumstance for a farmer. And then it's going to attract even more unwanted creatures, like birds and animals who come and rest in its shade and build nests in its branches, find a home there, and then probably feast on the bounty of the crops. Yet that is what the kingdom of heaven is like, apparently. That which we think is unwanted, God wants. That which we think are unwelcome, God welcomes. That which we think is in limited supply, God provides in abundance. So what if the life-changing discovery of God's word and how it shifts everything comes from us first, worrying only about our own soil, our own hearts? Two, realizing that ours is never to judge others. And three, that there is room for all, aka not falling for the lie that something or someone could be unwanted in God's field. Ironically, there is also an invasive weed in the Barbie movie that ultimately helps to bring about a greater understanding of equality and unity. Because sometimes the status quo needs to change. Sometimes that field that is a crop of status quo needs to be corrupted by a weed. That's the way God can work. And when what is corrupt gets corrupted, well, that's a double negative. It's no longer corrupt. It becomes transformed. It has discovered the word and the ways of God that help and that heal. And it can never be the same again. So I invite you to really think on what God finds unfair in this world. And I invite you to pray that God would send whatever mustard seeds necessary to disrupt that status quo, even if those seeds need to be planted in our own hearts, in order that all might know the healing and liberating love of God. And then that we would give all we have to that truth, that we would give it everything we've got. Now that would be the best unifying vent of all. Amen.